This is Taylor Talk, the number one Taylor Swift podcast, brought to you by TaylorTalk.org. Welcome, welcome to another year at... Wait a second, that's the wrong fandom, isn't it?
I think so.
Sorry, guys. Welcome to Taylor Talk, episode 64. This is Adam.
Maya.
Diane.
And Steve.
No, Steve. It's not.
I'm sorry. No, this is Steve's replacement, Augustine, from the Swift Agency.
Thanks for joining us, Augustine. Steve had to back out at the last minute, so it's much appreciated.
No problem. Thank you very much for the invitation.
Before we get going, something that happened last week reminded me to remind everybody of something that I haven't reminded you guys in quite a while, is the subscription service on iTunes, how you can subscribe to the podcast. The reason I'm bringing it up is because last week we had a situation where I uploaded the podcast to our server, and everybody who was subscribed gets it immediately. However, it did not actually appear in the iTunes store until 24 hours later. So what I'm really trying to say is if you want the content immediately, make sure you subscribe in iTunes, and you will get it as soon as I hit the publish button, and you'll be able to enjoy the episode. So go do that quickly. Another thing is something I noticed that's kind of cool is that, Taylor has one of her shows in Australia the day after her birthday on the 14th. And there's some Australian fans who are putting together a project where they actually want to sing happy birthday to Taylor at that concert. And I thought that was really cool. So if you're interested in participating in that, go to facebook.com/thehappybirthdaytaylorproject or at Taylor Swift B-Day on Twitter. And you can learn more about them. And we'll link to those links in the episode guide for 64 on taylortalk.org. So don't worry about memorizing it. But I just thought it was really cool. So guys...
Yeah.
Yes.
Are you about to give us another, like, one of your famous jokes?
No, I wasn't. I should
have. Oh, good. You scared me.
I need a joke. I should bring one back next episode. No, I was just thinking, it's funny you brought that up, though, in terms of giggling. Have you guys noticed how funny Taylor's tweets have been lately?
She has been pretty funny. I always love when she's on tour, because I feel like her tweets get really great, and we get more of them.
Yeah, like the particular favorite of mine recently was when Taylor tweeted that San Antonio crowd was amazing and so loud. Now I'm stuck in my own concert traffic, which is a conflicting feeling.
Can you imagine if you're like just driving, like leaving the Taylor concert, and you like look over and like Taylor's in the car next to you? Like, hey. I mean, well, her car has tinted windows.
And it's like,
but...
yeah, I'm stuck as well.
Yeah, you can like wave. I'm like, what's
and
up?
And you show. Just roll down your windows and you're like, really, Taylor? Really? Like, you did
thanks
this.
Thanks a lot for the traffic.
Although you probably wouldn't know, though, because she has a big like black SUV with the tinted windows. You can't see her.
Tinted windows don't mean nothing. They know who's inside.
That's true. You can probably tell. Like, we saw her drive into the Newark show. Like, we didn't actually see her face, but we knew she was in the car.
I'm sorry. Really? Did nobody get that pun? Augustine, please tell me you got that one.
I did not.
Oh.
No, sorry. I didn't get your song lyric reference.
The song It's Tricky by Run DMC.
Okay, if it's a Taylor song, yeah. But if you bring up a different song, then...
I can't help it. It's just what I thought of, because Maya was talking about Taylor's SUV being blackout and tinted and everything, and they've got a line in the song. It's a rap song, and they're like, tinted windows don't mean nothing. They know who's inside. So, that's what it reminded me of.
Well, it looks like that's Maya nice. Did know. She knew it was Taylor.
There you go. I'm pretty sure Taylor knows. Taylor knows her hip-hop.
Yeah, Taylor would probably know that song better than we do.
Did you see that last one that said also that moment when you buy scissors and when you try to open it you can't because you don't have scissors?
Yes.
That was great.
Oh, Taylor tweets.
Yep.
Gotta love them. So I feel like we went on this random like discussion topic here about Taylor's tweets. So let's get to the news. Diane, if you could give us the news, that'd be fantastic.
All right. Well, as you know, Taylor Swift has partnered with Diet Coke for the Red Tour, and Diet Coke just released another promo for their Stay Extraordinary program. You can check out extraordinary22.com to see Taylor in a few new promotional images. And if you're feeling inspired, you can even add a photo of your own to the website for a chance to win tickets to see Taylor in concert. Also, Diet Coke is not Taylor's only partnership for the Red Tour. Part 2 of Keds Presents Taylor Swift on Style has been released. In the interview, Taylor talks about where the inspiration came from for her Red Show costumes, as well as the inspiration behind her everyday clothing and makeup choices. You can find the video of her interview with Keds in the episode guide for this episode.
Thanks for the news, Diane. So, Maya, Augustine, can you please give us the calendar?
Sure. So, the 2013 CMT Awards are going to be on June 5th, and Taylor has 2 nominations. They're for Video of the Year for We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together, and Female Video of the Year for Begin Again. So, and those awards are completely fan-voted, so make sure you go to CMT.com and vote. In other fan-voted award news, Taylor is nominated for 3 Teen Choice Awards. She's nominated for Choice Female Artist, Choice Female Country Artist, and Choice Smile. Oh, that's cute. So make sure you go and vote at teenchoiceawards.com. And also tune into Fox on Sunday, August 11th to see if Taylor wins.
And I will add that there's another event coming up on May 27th, which is Elizabeth Hewitt, former member of the agency, the talented and beautiful Liz, will actually celebrate her birthday on May 27th, same day that this episode is released. So happy birthday, Liz. Go tweet her and wish her happy birthday at Elizabeth Hewitt on Twitter.
Yay! Happy birthday, yay. Liz.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Since I'm sure she listens to us.
Maybe she does. You never know.
All right. And now for the first time ever, we are going to have our tour partners, our friends over at T-Swift on Tour, the Twitter account, give us our tour updates.
Hey guys, it's Abby at AbbyTaylor13 from T-Swift on Tour. And this is your weekly tour recap. This week, Taylor was all over the state of Texas. She started the tour to Texas in Austin on Monday. Taylor played Safe and Sound as the secret song on the B stage for the victims of the Oklahoma tornadoes. She also sent Oklahoma her thoughts and prayers in a tweet after the show. The next day, she played for San Antonio and played Teardrops on My Guitar as the secret song. She also got stuck in her own concert traffic after the show. Her final Texas show was at the famous Dallas Cowboys Stadium. It was the biggest show of the Red Tour yet. Liz Rose, one of Taylor's favorite co-writers, was also in attendance, as well as her parents and her little brother Austin. Additionally, some of her friends were in the crowd, such as Haley Steinfeld and Claire Kisslinger and Jessica Zoor, who were both featured in the 22 music video. Heart Attack by Demi Lovato had been soundchecked earlier in the week, and a fan in Austin had been told by Taylor at Club Red that she had a surprise for Dallas. Everyone believed that Demi would show up and do a duet since that is her hometown. Sadly, she did not. But the biggest surprise of the night might have come to a young woman who was lucky enough to have been proposed to during the concert by her boyfriend. How sweet. Haunted and I'm Only Me When I'm With You were also soundchecked. The secret song at Dallas was Our Song, which was its 4th time making its appearance as the secret song on the Red Tour so far. This week, Taylor will be doing 2 nights in Glendale, Arizona, and 1 night in Denver, Colorado, at the Pepsi Center. I feel like that might be a little awkward for her Diet Coke sponsors. That's it for tour recaps. Back to you, Adam.
Awesome. Thank you for that. Remember, everybody, if you guys want live tour updates as they're happening, go follow them on Twitter at T-Swift on Tour. Carrying on with the episode, you guys are going to be very excited because we're bringing something back that hasn't been around for a couple episodes. The mini segments. What up?
Yay!
I guess, and you're a little bit overexcited there.
He's allowed to be happy.
No, it's awesome. I'm smiling right now. You just can't see it because we're on audio.
We can see it. It's so bright, I can see it from here.
All the way from Canada?
Yes.
Cool. All right, so Maya, can you give us our first one, please?
Sure. The first one is from Natalia via email, and she said, "You know you're a Swiftie when you talk about iHeart question mark with your friends who are non-Swifties and they have no idea what you're talking about."
You know what? That is one of the more obscure songs, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's just on the Beautiful Eyes EP. So if you don't have that, then Yeah, and that's like that they barely even sell that anymore.
I love that song though.
I know, it's so cute and like sassy.
This next one comes from Evan Holmquist from Twitter. And he says, you know you're Swiftie when you have about 5 different Taylor songs stuck in your head and you sing a line to each one in no particular order. So that actually sounds really challenging.
So is that like, it's a love story, you are the best thing that's ever been ours? I don't know. I can't do it like that.
That was a valiant effort.
I will tell you a little short story right here. Whenever we're like with my colleagues at work and we go down and just to pick like an early breakfast at McDonald's or whatever, and they ask me, hey, so what are you getting? I always go, I don't know what I want, so don't ask me because I'm still trying to figure it out.
That's wonderful.
So the next one comes from @Swift_lover on Twitter, who says, you know you're a Swiftie when you open a photo that says the Queen, thinking it'll be Taylor, but it ends up actually being the Queen.
Awkward.
Yeah.
I think I've done that before. Or it ends up being like Lady Gaga or something, and I'm just confused.
Lady Gaga's a lady. She's not the Queen.
Some people think she is.
Yeah.
Okay, she can be a queen to some. And the next one comes from this from Swift Agency 13, not related. However, I actually know her from Twitter, and of course she has interacted with this show a couple of times before. And I kind of like think of her as kind of like a little virtual sister. Aww. Because she has my first, she has got somehow my nickname there. And she says, you know you're a Swiftie when you're crying so much at your concert that the security guard has to ask if you're okay. I will add another one to that one. If you see the security guard crying, it's not the security guard. It's probably me.
Security guards. Because you're always wearing a suit. So don't people like mistake you for like her bodyguard?
Yeah, everyone except security.
You should just go with it.
And know that you don't belong.
Just be like, yes, I am her bodyguard. How did you know?
Yeah, you would say that, but I have a feeling that the Nashville guards actually kind of like recognize me because they kind of smile.
Yeah, they're like, oh, that guy again.
This is the guy that comes in a suit.
Here's the guy trying to imitate us.
Okay, our next one is from Hannah via email, and she said, you know you're a Swiftie when your friend says, stop making all those Taylor puns, and you say, my life is a Taylor pun, woman. I like that one.
Awesome.
That's awesome, yeah.
This next one comes from BounceRuby2013 from Twitter, and they say, you know you're a Swiftie when you immediately listen to Taylor talk right after a 20-hour flight instead of going to sleep.
That's dedication.
That's craziness. That's what that is. But that's I'm not going to complain.
Here's the real question, though. Why didn't you listen to Taylor talk on the 20-hour flight?
Maybe they did, but they had more shows left to listen to.
Or maybe we released while they were in the air.
Exactly.
Released the new episode.
Or they didn't have time to download it right after. Oh, I have to get into the plane now. Oh, no.
All right. So the last one is a voicemail from Hope. So Hope, take it away.
You know you're a Swiftie when you fangirl because you realize that your older brother, who is 7 years and one day older than you, will have his 22nd birthday the day before you have your 15th. How awesome is that?
That is pretty cool. That's like two kids in the family that have two Taylor Swift songs covered. Did you guys ever notice, though, that 22 is titled in numerical form, but 15 is spelled out?
You know what? I never noticed that.
That is interesting. I wonder why she did that.
To save cost on printing? I don't know.
No, but if you know Taylor, it means something, which now makes me think about a couple
of things. Yeah, there must be a reason. It's like how there's a period at the end of I Knew You Were Trouble. I don't know why, but there must be a good reason for it.
We just need to ask her.
I think the period, though, Maya, is pretty straightforward. I think the period is just definitive. Like, I knew you were trouble, period.
Like, I'm done.
You were trouble, and we're done.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you for everyone who submitted to those mini segments. I know some of those got sent in quite a while ago, but we did prove ourselves. We actually do keep those for when we brought the mini segments back. So carrying along with the episode to the main discussion, we had a request for a song analysis. Again, these requests came in quite a while ago, and we were a little bit behind because we haven't done a song analysis in a while. But at TaySwiftyUK on Twitter and Beth, who emailed us, both suggested that we analyze Everything Has Changed, featuring Ed Sheeran, which of course we know is a single in Australia now and going to be the next single in the UK. So we felt it appropriate to finally discuss this song. So what do you guys think?
Well, I love... You know what I love most about the song, and actually Taylor, I think it was Taylor or Ed that brought that to light, was that that's a very particularly well-crafted song also in its choruses. It has two choruses. It goes, I don't want to know you better. No, what is it?
I just want to know you better now. I just
want to know you better. Want to know you better now.
And then also
then
the part.
It goes
yeah.
into the other one. The actual Everything Has Changed. So it has that. It's a very interesting song to listen to. It's not a simple song. It's not as simple as one would think, you know.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not. Which brings me to my next question. Which, what do you guys think it's about?
Well, I think it's about that feeling when you first meet someone, and it's kind of like this love at first sight thing, and you have all this hope about like, well, maybe this person could be this great love for me for the future, but you don't know, but you still like want to know more about this person.
Right. So, you know, I believe Taylor said it's about two people meeting and falling in love. And, you know, when I first read through the lyrics as I was listening to the song at the same time, I was thinking more along the lines of, to me, it sounded like two people who were friends before and then all of a sudden fell in love. And that's where the Everything Has Changed came from. But I mean, I guess, obviously, Taylor is right. It's her song, so my opinion...
Yeah, but it could be.
Well, I was just saying my point is kind of moot, but at the same time, I think that's part of the beauty of the fact that she writes in metaphor is because it can really be interpreted in many different ways by the listener.
Yeah, it's look what happened to Mean, right? Mean was essentially about her experience, but she has this talent of... basically the superpower of relativity when she writes a song and you're like, oh my god, that's totally about me kind of thing. And it can be, I would agree with that. I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know if we want to talk about speculate about the video yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if we will see some sort of a progression between ages, you know, between characters that kind of like start as, you know, oh, you know, your childhood friend, and then turns into more as the years go by. And it's like suddenly from friends that think they know each other better as best as they can, suddenly everything has changed and we got to know each other again, you know, because of that. But you can actually apply a lot of treatments to that video. Like you said, those lyrics are, I don't want to say flexible, but they are prone to interpretation.
Right. So since you brought up the video, I don't even know, has a video been officially announced yet? I mean, there's a lot going around the internet about it. And I think Ed himself mentioned it. So I guess that counts as official, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The only thing he said was that he convinced Taylor not to be in it.
Yeah, which kind of like, I know.
And the interviewer was like, I think you just made a lot of Taylor fans very grumpy.
Yeah, you're like, really, Ed? Why did you do that?
Except if they're, you know, if they do behind the scenes stuff as they always do, and Ed brings up his point, that's what validated it for me. He said music videos should revolve around the song rather than the artist. And I think that's a very, very valid
point. And he always like, not always, but he makes little cameos in his videos.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's, well, some of them he's actually in, but like in Lego House he shows up at the end, and in Give Me Love he's in it for like a second. So like maybe him and Taylor will be in it, but like sort of in the background, like an Alfred Hitchcock type thing, you know, where they sort of just hide in the back could and be. You don't notice them.
They could be added afterwards. I mean, everything is possible. Everything can be changed. As long as, you know, as long as they don't bring up like two mini Lego figures come walking along, I'll be happy.
No, I don't think it's going to be in Lego.
Yeah. I don't know. I've seen a lot of speculation about it being a cartoon or, you know, it won't be though, I'm sure.
Yeah, I don't think they would do that either.
But taking it back to the song itself, you know, we'll obviously have a discussion on the video when the video actually comes out and we'll know quite a bit more because we'll have seen it. But the song itself, so was it like this mind-blowing song like you would have expected from Ed and Taylor? Because obviously before Red came out, there was a lot of hype surrounding this particular song.
Well, if I may, I don't know. Here's the thing. Ed and Taylor have this personality that is very down to earth. And when they're together, what they create always tends to be not as bombastic, if that word actually exists, not as, you know, in your face, but more like subtle, more like warm, more like friendly, more like kind. So it was what I kind of was expecting, which is a song that is good without having to be, you know, loud, you know. So it's a song that has to be more lyrical or more, I know it's not exactly country, but it has a story to tell, which is most of Taylor's songs, and I think it's as well. So it was what I was kind of expecting. I didn't expect them to come up with like a dance song or a house song. It has to be something of, I hate to use this word, but friendly, so to speak.
Yeah, and you know, I've been known to change my opinion from time to time, and when Red first came out and we did an overview of every song, I said it wasn't mind-blowing, and I still kind of agree with that, but I actually like the song a lot better. It's definitely grown on me. I think this song's kind of a grower for me. So how do you guys feel their voices work together in the song?
I love the way that the two of them sound together. I mean, I don't know, the first time I heard the song and like the part when Ed came in, I was like by myself in my room, and when he came in, I like squeaked a little bit. I was like, I got so excited. Okay. Yeah. I don't know, they just sound so good together, and yeah, I like it. And then hearing them sing on tour, it makes me happy.
I wonder if, well, no, stupid question, but I mean, I was just thinking, I wonder if part of the reason Ed or Taylor invited Ed on the tour was specifically for this song.
Well, probably, and they're also like really good friends, so I'm sure she wanted to spend her tour time with someone that she's close with. So I mean, why not? It's kind of like a
win-win.
Yeah, win-win.
Yeah, and you don't know which one came first, right? Probably they were thinking about, they have to plan the tour like years in advance, especially if someone else is going to tour with them. And I think that perhaps they got almost those ideas at the same time. They were collaborating and say, hey, you want to go on tour with me? Cool, you know?
Yeah, well, supposedly there was a text message at some point where Taylor texted Ed. Mm-hmm. Asking if he wanted to go on tour, and that's how it happened.
Let's go on tour. And he's like, cool, okay.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Sounds like fun.
He seems really laid back, like, yeah, let's just go with it.
Yeah, he is so chill.
Yeah, I love the pictures of them at the billboards. Taylor's there in her ball gown, and he's there in, like, a sweater.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, Maya. I saw. I was there.
I know you were there.
Sorry. Just making it funny. So here's the big question of the song. What?
Drum roll, please.
What is it that has changed?
Everything?
Everything.
Maybe
everything.
Just a guess.
Duh.
Everything. Well, no, I think it's like either when you meet someone, or it could be if it's like someone that you've been friends with for a while and like something happens. And suddenly, like, the way that you see them just completely changes. Like, you're like, wait, there could be something there, you know?
I agree. I think it has to do with the mindset. Because I remember in an interview somewhere, and don't ask me where, because Taylor does millions of interviews all over the place. But she said something about the whole concept of now you're thinking for two instead of one. So it's, I think what she's referring to with everything has changed is it's a different mindset when you're in a relationship, and that's what has changed, is the actual mindset that you're in. Or maybe it's because she finally has someone holding the door for her.
Well, I don't think it's that she's like, oh, he did that, so he must be amazing. It's just like that small, simple thing that might make you think, oh, I could see myself with this person. He's nice. Well, you know, all of that. So I think it's just like that moment when you realize that there could be a life with this person and you want that kind of thing.
I agree. I think you guys have nailed it. It's the point where you stop thinking of, well, I have to do this, I have to do that, and then you're going like, we should do this. You start thinking as a couple rather mm-hmm. than as just an individual.
Right. So the secret message of the song is Hyannis Port. So I don't think there is any question as to who this song is about.
Yep.
Yeah, there's only one person she's dated who lives there. So.
And he's got green eyes and freckles.
Maya, are you sure she hasn't also dated Ethel Kennedy?
You know, I'm not 100% sure, but like,
we can neither confirm nor deny that.
As far as I know, there's only one person in Hyannis Port.
So, well, unless we count not bringing rumors into it, but if somebody decides to decide that Patrick Schwarzenegger is somehow involved here, but I think
she like
so.
Hugged him one time, and suddenly they were in a long term relationship. What?
Well, she also hugged Adam at some point, I think.
Hey, Augustine, don't tell everybody about mine and Taylor's relationship. You're gonna spoil it.
Oh my god, Paris Hilton probably will hear this and it will be all over the news.
Oh, don't give it to
sure,
Perez.
That would be
the
best day of your life, Adam, don't lie.
What?
I am.
That would be the best day of your life.
Okay, just a disclaimer to follow up from this little bantering session. I am not actually dating Taylor Swift, so don't go tweeting that. Don't go writing about it in your fancy blog, Augustine.
your fancy
and
blog.
Post- New block in 3, 2. No, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was sarcasm, guys.
Yes, we were just joking around.
So, diving into the lyrics, though, because, you know, the reason I wanted to bring up the secret message and who it's about is see if we can find any real life correlation with the lyrics. And, you know, obviously in the first verse, there's something about 18 hours ago, green eyes and the freckles and your smile. You know, the green eyes, yes, Connor Kennedy has green eyes. What is the significance of 18 hours ago?
Connor is 18.
Ooh.
Well, I don't think he was 18 when she met him.
Well, but you don't know when she wrote this song.
But it's, like, to me it sounds like, I don't know, a speculation, but it sounds like it's like she had just met him and then came home and then... and then wrote this.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
You know? It's like you... Or it could have been, like, the next day. Like, if she, like, was hanging out with him and then came home and then was hanging out with Ed. And was like, hey, I want to... Let's write a song on my trampoline.
But this song sort of, like, happened accidentally with Ed, though. They, like, went out...
But that doesn't mean that this... The situation that inspired it didn't happen the day before.
I guess. I mean, that'd be a strange coincidence, really, but...
I mean, like, the song could have been about anything, and I think that's probably just what was on her mind.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps. Which is weird, because Ed co-wrote it, so what does Ed have to do with Connor?
Well, nothing, but nothing, maybe that's just hopefully. Not the line that he wrote. Because I don't think Ed is thinking about Connor romantically, so...
Alright, well, here's the next rumor. Ed Sheeran dating Connor Kennedy. After a heartbreak from Taylor Swift, Connor decides to try his luck with Ed Sheeran.
No, I don't think so.
I'm kidding. Yeah, I'm kidding. Don't take rumors out of context, please.
Rumors are out of context to begin with. But you know what? I don't know. It can be pretty much actually the hours it takes, because from Hyannis Port to Nashville, or even worse, to Los Angeles, come on. It's a long flight.
I feel like it was at her house in LA that they wrote this. I don't know why I feel that, but I just... feel like that. Does it? Can anyone confirm that?
I think she hung out with him a lot in LA, so that might make sense.
Wasn't it due to the trampoline and all that, you know?
Yeah, which, I mean, speaking of the trampoline, I'm glad you guys brought up that they wrote this on a trampoline, because there's something very important that we can take away from that. Mm-hmm. Taylor Swift has a trampoline.
That's yes, awesome. She does.
I want to go jump on it.
Well, we saw it on 22, and I'm sure that's a trampoline.
Do you think that's the actual trampoline, Augustine?
If that's not the trampoline, that's kind of meant to be the trampoline. Probably, I don't know if they probably brought a larger one because they had everyone sitting around it and they had to fit everyone. Who knows? And, you know, insurance and companies and protecting Taylor and every stuff, probably they reinforced it a couple of times. But, I mean, it's supposed to be her house. It's supposed to be her place in L.A. because it's supposed to be her friends as well, right? So even if it's not, it's kind of like that depiction of.
I love how, as a joke, I brought up the trampoline thing and we created, like, a serious discussion about it.
Trampolines are very serious business.
Getting back into lyrics and stuff, do you guys have any lyrics in this that really jump out at you as being well-written, just awesome lyrics?
I love the entire last verse of the song. I think it's just beautiful. Especially, I believe it's the last three lines where they say, "All I know is a newfound grace. All my days, I'll know your face." I just think it's just really sweet, and I don't have anything else to say about it other than it makes me smile.
Maya or Augustine, do you guys have anything?
I really like. And all I feel in my stomach is butterflies, the beautiful kind, making up for lost time.
I actually really like that too.
I like that one. I don't know. I feel like they just sort of managed to sum up it like an idea in very few words. Like sort of, it's like that feeling when you're like having a new, like not say love, but I don't know. I guess if you like develop a crush on someone and like you haven't had that in a while because maybe you had a heartbreak or something, so it's like making up for lost time. It's like suddenly like all of the heartbreak and stuff kind of goes away because you found something new, and it's I don't know, I just like they sort of just described it very nicely.
Right, that's it. Actually exactly as I was gonna say, same thing, you hit it on the nail, they're the nail on the head. So Augustine, what do you think, any lyrics?
Well, I'm kind of like, I like the repeat verse of "I just want to know you better now." I know I basically, I kind of like murdered it earlier ago because I said I don't want to know. But it's, "I just want to know you better now, know you better now." But it actually says, "I just want to know you better, know you better, know you better now." So it's kind of like lyrically, it's like "no" and "now," kind of like it's opens and closes. It's and it's also a very meaningful thing that she repeats it three times because it's kind of like, "I'm not letting the go of this idea. I want to know you better," right?
Yeah. And it sums up the whole beginning of the relationship thing too. It's like all of a sudden there's this spark and then they want to get to know each other better at that point.
And I feel it's incremental as well. I want to know you better. Now I want to know you even better than that, and now I want to know you even better than that. You know?
I actually never even thought of it like that. That's genius. And then as for me, if I had to pick some favorite lyrics, one of the lines that I really liked was the part where they said, "And your eyes look like coming home." Hmm. And it's just very, like, you kind of get that warm, tingly feeling of, like, you know, you come home and you see the person you really care about, and it's sort of saying, in my mind, that she's seeing like a future. It's at a point where they're obviously at the very beginning phases of a relationship, but it's like already it has that sort of feeling like, do you kind of get where I'm going with that? I'm having terrible time articulating myself right
totally.
Now.
Yep. And I think it also has to do with like, okay, Taylor and a lot of other girls are on this quest to find the one, and I think for this line, it's like she's been searching for that person to be the one for her, and it's like she's finally home because she's found this person and she looks at them and she knows that that's it.
Right.
Was that kind of where you're going, Adam?
Yeah, kind of. Like, it's that there's something very special about them.
Yeah.
It's just a very unique and interesting way of saying that there is something special and I potentially see long-term with this person. Obviously, this song has been a big success, so I guess one of the big questions on everyone's mind is future Ed and Taylor collaborations, because of course we do know, because Ed revealed he actually has a song they recorded together on his iPhone. So, you know,
he keeps losing his phone,
right? Like, it's so dangerous.
Like, at some point it's gonna get leaked.
I know, someone's gonna find his phone and that song's gonna be all over the internet.
I would be okay with that. Just kidding.
Well, I wonder though if you know, that collaboration, whatever it happens to be, is supposed to be for Ed's next album.
I feel like this is definitely possible.
Because, I mean, he was talking about how his second album is starting to take shape and things like that. And he specifically said, I don't know if there will be any collaborations on it. You never know. I'm on tour with her for 6 months, her being Taylor. I'm sure the guitars will come out at some point.
I love that phrase. It's like, not the guns coming out, but the guitars are coming out. You know, creativity instead of destruction. I love that.
Yeah, but I mean, if I had to speculate, though, I'd say we should keep an eye out for future Ed Sheeran, Taylor Swift collaborations.
For sure.
Yay.
That's my opinion. I think that pretty much wraps it up for Everything Has Changed discussion. All right, guys? Got anything else?
I think that's it.
All right, cool. So moving along with the episode, it's like, we're all of a sudden bringing back like every mini segment that we haven't done for the last several months. We have a What Are Swifties Listening To submission. Nina on Taylor Connect, also known as Untouchable Swiftie, suggests that everybody goes and listens to Nina Nesbitt's song Statues. So we actually listened to it before the episode. It is a soft sort of piano song.
I think it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's pretty. Love it. You should listen to it.
Yeah.
All right. So thank you, Nina, for suggesting that. Everybody go check it out. Nina Nesbitt, Statues. Finally, our last segment of the show. I know you guys have been waiting for this. You're probably like, oh my god, you guys are so boring. I'm ready for this show to be over.
Let's hope not.
I hope not either, because this is probably going to be the best discussion we have on the show. What would Taylor do? Bounce Ruby 2013 asks, what would Taylor do if Taylor fell in a rabbit hole and transported to Wonderland? Which character would each band member portray? So I think we're assuming here that Taylor is Alice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't know about you guys. I think the best way to tackle this is to maybe go through each of the characters in Alice in Wonderland and maybe compare them to an agency member. So why don't we start with Tweedledee and Tweedledum? Who would be Tweedledee and Tweedledum?
The only thing that the only one I can think of would be Ed Sheeran, even though he's not technically part of the band, but he's got red hair and he's silly. So he could be both.
But who else is silly? I mean, Amos is silly.
Well I would actually I'm going to be recycling a couple of these answers, but I would think that Tweedledee and Tweedledum apply to Mike Meadows and Amos Heller at the same time. Like, they both, because they're always clowning around, you know, that part with the banana, that I've taken Amos and whatever, you know. So they're kind of like a comedy duo kind of thing.
I think that's fair, because that's what I was kind of looking for, is trying to figure out who in the agency is that sort of comedic duo.
It could be like David and Mike. Like, do you remember how they used to have like conversations with Dave and Mike?
Oh, that's nice. Yes, he's right.
On Twitter. Mm-hmm. And they would just tweet each other really silly things.
Okay.
I don't know.
Conversations with David and Mike, I think it was called. They put a hashtag on it.
It was a hashtag, and then they would just like talk about really weird things.
What about the Cheshire Cat?
Amos, for sure.
Yeah.
Amos, who's got a crazy big smile? I mean, Taylor just got nominated for Choice Smile, so, but it can't be Taylor. She's Alice.
Yeah, but come on, in Stay, and I hope I'm not kind of like spoiling anything, but he has this huge...
Yeah, he does. He does well in that one. He's very, like, campy.
Okay, so Amos, Cheshire Cat. The March Hare. Who's the March Hare? I don't remember that character.
It's the actual hare that sits along the tea party with the Mad Hatter, you know, the rabbit. It's the other rabbit.
Oh,
isn't the one who's late?
No, that's the white rabbit. We'll get to that one.
Oh,
it's the, I believe he's brown.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is he the one who's like slightly weird and like...
Oh yeah, he's
keeps,
definitely
like throwing
eccentric
stuff.
Yes, that's the March Hare.
Oh,
okay. So who is that? Who's... I mean, I would associate that with like a mad scientist sort of...
Who does that? I don't know.
Well, it's not necessarily Matt. I would actually point towards Caitlyn for some reason on that, because she's all kind of like... the Marsh Hare is... well, I don't remember. I kind of like my image always goes to the Walt Disney cartoon, although I know it's actually a book first. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it kind of like for some reason I think of Caitlyn when I think of a Marsh Hare, because she's jumping around and stuff.
I can see that. That's fair.
So then what about the Queen of Hearts? It's got to be a female.
I feel
so
like that's hard because she's the bad guy in Alice in Wonderland. I don't want to give anyone that spot.
So the Queen of Hearts is going to be Diane.
I'm not in the agency. I am immune to this.
That's rude.
We're not doing it of Taylor talk, okay?
Yeah.
And even then, I would not be the Queen of Hearts.
Okay, so I would think, actually, I'm going to bring someone from the past here, and I would say that's Elizabeth Hewitt. And the reason why I say it's Elizabeth Hewitt, if the peanut gallery stays quiet for a second, is that line up everyone in the agency, right? And let's say that we have a critical problem. We have to solve it as sensible as we can, because this has happened. Who is the character among all that lineup that would usually go off with her head? You know, that for me would be the person that usually shows up in all the pictures of Taylor and her friends, and they're all being smiley and coy. And you know, it's Liz Hewitt who usually makes that weird face. You know, so it's kind of like the rabble rouser, the Queen of Hearts. It's like, no, let's do this. Ah!
So Augustine, really, what you're trying to say is that when we go to I'll tweet Liz on her birthday. Mm-hmm. That we should say happy birthday, and by the way, the Swift Agency thinks you're the evil Queen of Hearts. Because you like to chop off people's heads.
No, we shouldn't do that.
She's the Queen of my heart, though.
Oh,
see, that is why we can't ruin their relationship. It's too cute.
So, the White Rabbit. We're late for a very important date. No time to say hello, goodbye, we're late!
Did you practice that before the show?
See, I feel like this should be Grant, because he's, like, obsessive about everything.
Is he?
You know, he's, like, obsessed with, like, ironing his ties, and, like, I don't know. I feel like he probably wouldn't like being late to things.
I kind of think of Paul simply because Paul is usually... But no, actually, I'm not... It's not a good comparison. Paul is very mellow, very calm, but he's also usually the nice guy, and the White Rabbit was the guy who was trying to be, like... I don't know. It's simply because I'm kind of like lining up Grant to be the Mad Hatter. But other than that...
Augustine, that was my idea too, but we're not there yet.
I was debating, because I feel like he could be the Mad Hatter too. I don't know.
All right, as long as we spoiled it. Mad Hatter, Grant, I think it's unanimous on that one.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's got all the style of the Mad Hatter.
Is that a fair assessment, though, in terms of personality, though? Because...
No.
No?
Well, I think so.
Because, I mean, Grant, we're lining up with the Mad Hatter because his crazy hair. And his overall appearance.
I don't know, like, he's a little bit crazy, but he also is nice. I don't know, I think that works.
The Mad Hatter is a good guy overall, though, right? He's just a little mad.
Yeah, he's kind of mad, but... Depends, unless you're going for, I mean, in Walt Disney interpretation, he was kind of crazy, but he didn't really hurt anybody.
Well, the only version of Alice in Wonderland I'm familiar with is where Mad Hatter is Johnny Depp. So that's my image of the Mad Hatter. And for me, that's where I came up with Grant, which leaves just one character, the Caterpillar.
Oh, I know.
The wise Caterpillar smoking the hookah.
David Cook.
David Cook, sure. Why?
Well, for me, I don't know. It's the image, you know, Caterpillar. It's not so much that he's smoking it. Number one, because David Cook was the musical director for the Speak Now Tour, and I'm pretty sure he's not that now. But also because when I think of all the, you know, the little legs and stuff and the little sections and stuff, I think of all his keyboards around, you know?
Yeah, it's like he has like 10 hands. You can play so many keyboards. I don't know how he does it.
So you're thinking of the physical attributes of a caterpillar.
Or I would...
Because the caterpillar has so many hands.
Yes. Or legs. Yes, yes. I think it fits.
I guess we were thinking along the same lines. You said he was the what was his position? He was like the leader of what?
He was the musical director for the Speak Now tour.
Musical director, and okay.
And I think that he is the musical director also for this one, for the Red Tour as well, right?
Okay, because along the same lines, that's actually kind of why my first impression was to go with Al, because he was the band leader.
Oh, okay. Well, so, that fits as well.
Because in my mind, the Caterpillar is the one who's wise and all-knowing. That's mm-hmm. what the Caterpillar is, right? So yeah. It has to be somebody who is a leader in the organization. Which, again, of course, you can always take back to Taylor, but she's Alice, so we can't.
Mm-hmm. I think they both fit the role somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's just a figure of speech, really. I think we're leaving someone out. Who are we leaving out?
There's a few minor characters we're leaving out, of course, but I mean, I think we covered
No, I mean from the agency, it's like... But I don't know Matt's, for instance, I don't know Matt Billingsley so well that I can assign him to a character.
Augustine, I love having you on this episode.
Oh, I'm sorry. Why? What did I do?
It's just because...
What did I do?
You didn't do anything. I mean, of course you did something, but it's just how, like, this segment is, of course, it's always meant to be a comedic segment. Obviously, we're comparing the agency to the characters in Alice in Wonderland, and it's so funny because I love how you take it and legitimately analyze people's personality types and compare it to the characters
in
Alice.
He's just doing his job, and he's doing a great job.
I know, it's a great job. I'm glad you carried this conversation. It's fantastic. I love it.
I'm sorry. I kind of feel that sometimes I'm kind of like taking over the conversation. I'm sorry about that. I want to hear you guys' opinions as well. Because the White Rabbit, I think it's a very iconic character. So we kind of, I think we didn't hear, did we hear from everyone? Because I said Paul, but basically it's because I thought he was most of a mild manner person, but it's true that actually it's the opposite. It's a very it's a character that is very stressed.
Yeah. Somebody who's stressed, someone who's very timely.
That's why I think Grant, because I feel like he's always stressed about something.
You know what? She's right. White Rabbit, yeah, because he's like the organized person and then Claire comes in and goes, no, I want to have fried chicken. No, fried chicken, no. It's, you know, he's like, no, everything in order. And
probably.
You know.
Every string of hair has to be in its place.
It does.
So, just to sum up, Tweedledee, Tweedledum, who did we decide they were?
I don't even remember now. Oh, no, it was Mike and Matt.
David and Mike.
Yeah.
David and Mike,
okay. Cheshire Cat was Amos. The March Hare was who?
I would say Caitlin,
yeah,
but
Caitlin,
I just
and then Queen of Hearts was
like
Liz.
Caitlin. Okay, mm-hmm. Queen of Hearts was Liz. The White Rabbit we finally Grant. Now decided was Grant. Caterpillar was either, my opinion was Al, and Augustine said, who? David Cook.
Mm-hmm.
Not the one from American Idol.
Not the one from American Idol.
And then finally, Mad Hatter was again Grant. So if anybody has any differences of opinion, please tweet us or email us or something, because I actually would love to continue this conversation with other people, because it's an interesting one. So, of course, there are many, many different ways you can contact us. You can email us to taylortalk@taylorswift13.org. You can tweet us, Facebook us, or Taylor Connect us to taylortalk13. You can leave us a voicemail at area code 240-31-SWIFT. You can also leave us a voicemail directly on the website, taylortalk.org, or you could text message us to area code 240-31-SWIFT. So thank you again to Augustine for joining us this episode.
Yeah, thank you. That was really fun to have you on.
Definitely, and we hope to have you back, which, of course, you'll be back. What am I saying? We hope to have you back. You'll be back at some point.
For sure.
So for episode 64, everybody, this has been Adam,
Diane,
Maya,
and Augustine
saying have a great day, guys. Bye-bye. We'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
This podcast is not directly affiliated with Taylor Swift.